Well, hey, we are launching a new series here today called Step Christmas. And I'm super excited about what God's going to do through this series for your life. And if you got your Bibles here this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read several verses inside of this chapter and then land on the points that God wants us to share here today. Luke chapter 2, the infamous, famous Christmas account found in Scripture says this at verse 1. We got them for you on the screen. If you're following along with us on the app, we got them for you there as well. Verse 1, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, to which Israel and its people were underneath at this time. This was the first census, Scripture says, that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. In other words, where you were born. Verse 4, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And you kind of see what happens after this. I mean, you fast forward to verse 13 and 14, baby's born, but man, the sky splits open, angels, the scriptures say choruses of angels, some Greek words that are Greek words that we see, find translations of just legions of angels open up in the sky and start shouting and singing about the arrival of Jesus. Can you imagine what in the world that sight looked like and what that sound sounded like? I mean, some theologians would even be pretty confident to say that there were millions and millions within the sight of the sky of angels shouting and singing about the arrival of this Messiah. You know what an angel looks like? Daniel chapter 10, if you're taking notes, write it down and read it later, gives you the description of what an angel looks like. You're talking tall, gigantic. It says eyes like flaming torches. Face looks like lightning. What does that look like? Their face. The only way the author describes it is looks like lightning bolts. Arms and legs like gleamed, burnished bronze, it says. And it says that when their voice speaks, it's like the sound of a multitude of fighting mighty men. That's just one. Put millions in the sky, and they're shouting and singing. What did this sound like? Man, that is, I'd love to see that, wouldn't you? Man, so there are all these special experiences, and this is all for who? For Jesus, right? For this moment, all this is happening in and around it. Wise men coming. It's an incredible. And verse 19 says that Mary, and what a journey it's been for her, right? I mean, to receive this responsibility, right, on her shoulders and in her womb. To receive this responsibility, it says Mary, upon all these things happening, treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Man, this chapter, if you read it, and I recommend you read it over and over again during the season, it does an incredible job of detailing out all that heaven did that Mary went through and thought about in this moment. Awesome. Mom and baby. But what was it like for Joseph? Because we know he knows this is not his child. It's not. He not the baby daddy. I mean, if he was on Maury, you know, he just Joseph of Galilee in the case of Jesus. You are not the father. Oh! And everybody, you know. Like, everybody knows it. In this beautiful, magnificent, grandeur manger scene, mom and baby and heaven, and it's just, what a picture. Everybody's DNA connected. He's witnessing this, and he's the stepdad. In a way, that had to be hard. Now, some of you may say, well, come on, that's a little extreme. I mean, this is a unique situation, Pastor. I mean, come on, this is the Son of God being born here. I don't think he would feel like that. Yeah, but what was it really like for him? Because Scripture gives no dialogue allowing us to see into his mind. In this moment, he's the stepdad. And there had to be moments and or moments where he felt out of the circle. If you know what I mean. Like if you have this, you have that circle right there. Like you know, Joseph, and I just imagine he's got this beard and all that stuff. There had to be moments where he felt out of the circle of what was happening, out of the circle of involvement, out of the circle of this incredible moment where everybody's just connected in great ways, and everybody's included, everybody's related, and you just feel left out of it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not demeaning Joseph in any way. In fact, to quite the opposite, because I am blown away at the support shown by Joseph and the support seen by Joseph in Scripture. But through all of the support leading up to the moment before the manger, I mean, Mary, I won't leave you. Don't worry. I believe that God made you pregnant. Right? How many know you got a guy that's willing to stand with you through that news? You got a good guy right there. Right? I mean, I'm going to commit to you. You can't tell me there weren't times in this manger where he didn't feel part of the family. I've talked with step-parents, particularly step-dads, who have been in similar scenarios. Well, not really similar. Their partner wasn't pregnant from God. But, you know, where they found relationship with someone who was pregnant. And they ended up getting married and engaged, and then they're in the delivery room and she's giving birth, and the stepdad, though in full support of what is happening, and in a mindset of complete dedication toward the life of this child, toward the nourishment of this child that's about to come, toward the future of this child that is about to make his or her grand entrance. In that moment, there's still a portion of him that feels out of the circle. That portion being deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA. Yet they push through those feelings and commit nonetheless. And that's just one of the things that makes a stepdad or a stepparent so wonderful. But that doesn't erase the feelings every now and then. That doesn't erase those feelings. To everybody else in this manger scene, it was Christmas, but to Joseph at times, could it felt a little bit like step Christmas? I believe if Jesus could speak in that moment, by the way, how cool would that have been, right? If he could have. I believe he would turn to Joseph and say, in those moments where he may have felt out of the circle, son, you're missing the point. I didn't come so that you could feel excluded. I came so that you could be included. I came not so that anybody else could be out of the circle. I came so that you could be in the circle. You want to talk about a circle, Joseph? Everybody on this P people planet is out of the circle. Let me remind you of a little place called the Garden of Eden. And let me remind you what happened in that garden, wherein enter sin, right? Enter the curse, enter generations that continued in it time after time. Everybody with breath in their lungs is outside of the circle of my law and my way and my will and my provision. But I came in this moment to bring you and her and those shepherds you just saw and these wise men you're about to see and person after person after person that you will see throughout my time with you into the circle. And you'll see in about 33 years just why I came and how I'm going to do it. Christmas is not about exclusivity. It's about inclusivity. Somebody say a good amen. Why? Christmas is not about exclusivity. It's about inclusivity. Why is it that we allow things and thoughts to leave us feeling left out of the circle of the holiday season? Much like Joseph, Christmas can feel like step Christmas in that we don't have what everyone else has. Let me give you an example. I've talked with people who have lost loved ones, and whether it's a parent that someone has lost or a child someone has lost, and this time of year can bring feelings of absence, feelings of being incomplete, because they see everyone else with their parents, and they see everyone else with their children, and they can often find themselves feeling left out. I've talked with people who see all of their friends and neighbors celebrating Christmas with their children, talking about the plans that they're going to have this year with their children, and maybe your child is incarcerated. And Christmas is something you won't get to experience like everybody else will this year. You just feel left out by life of the circle. Whether you're single and you have no one to mingle with, or maybe you're so broke, it's not a joke. The season can feel like step Christmas. So we've designed this series to minister, to reach out to those who feel left out of the circle. And we've designed this series to give you a very encouraging message, in that Jesus came not to leave you out, but to bring you in. And I pray this series equips all of us with the opportunity to echo these truths to those we know who aren't here, who may feel this way during the holiday seasons. Man, preach this message to people. Don't ever let this message or any of these messages stop at your ears. Continue it on. Preach it, man, to people that need to hear. Give them out to those that need to hear it. So over this series, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the three F's that leave people feeling left out. And those three F's are finances, family, and frenzy. And we're going to spend this week and the next 2 weeks talking and addressing these three F's: finances, family, and frenzy. These three things often leave people feeling excluded during the Christmas season. And what God would want us to do in response to these areas is what we're going to talk about here today and over the next couple of weeks. And today, we're going to start with the top F there, finances. We're going to talk about money, and I don't want to be long in this message because I want you to remember the point of this message. You know, we are America, the richest nation on the planet, by far. And consumer culture exists in this nation by far more than it does any other nation on this planet. And there is, around this time in this nation, and I want to use the right word here, pressure to put $1 million under the tree. How many know what I'm talking about when I say that? There's pressure for that. There's pressure. You got to have a million, man, underneath that pine, man. You got to make it under that evergreen. Better be a lot of green. I just made that up. I thought that was awesome right there. And maybe you're here today. You feel that pressure, but maybe you're here today and you can't put a million. I'm being facetious here when I use the word million. But maybe you're here today and you can't put that amount under the Christmas tree. Maybe times are so hard for you right now, you couldn't. It'd take a miracle to put $100 underneath that tree this year. And that hurts. In this nation, with that pressure, that hurts. Especially as a parent, that hurts. Because from your view, especially in today's world, you know what's coming. In that, you will see at Christmas time all of the Facebook pictures that come from your families and your friends with their kids that all are holding up the latest with the gift wrapping paper on the ground behind them, and they're holding up the greatest under the tree, right? They got the newest game console and they got, you know, ribbons on cars in the driveway. Hashtag isn't God good, and all of these types of things. Mary, you see all this incredible, costly stuff. And you know that's coming. See kids coming on. I got the greatest family ever, right? And you know that's coming. And maybe you and your home are struggling this year. Multiple jobs. Barely making it. Christmas time hasn't been something you've been looking forward to, where what's under your tree won't impress on Facebook. And we allow American consumerism to seep in much deeper than it should. And we allow, because we don't have $1 million to put under the tree, feelings of guilt to set in, feelings of bad parenting to set in, that because I can't put a PS4 under the tree this year, I'm not a good parent. I'm a bad parent. I'm not good enough. Can you go back to that circle? We feel around this time of year left out. We feel out of the circle. Can I tell you something? And what I'm about to tell you, I've got on the screen. And so get your camera phones ready, because what you are about to see on the screen, I want to encourage you to take a picture of and put on social media. Let this go out on Facebook. Because what I'm about to say to you is truth. And it's this. A successful Christmas is not measured by the dollar amount represented under the tree. Hashtag truth post. A successful Christmas is not measured by the dollar amount represented under the tree. A successful Christmas is represented by the measure of faith that is found in the hearts of the people that celebrate it. It is not measured by finances. It is measured by faith. And faith, hear me now, is all about belief and worldview. Is it not? Gifts are just the sideshow. It's just the sideshow. And I'm not saying gifts are bad. Gifts are great. They're awesome. But gifts are just the sideshow. And when we make it about the gifts, It turns into stuff like what you see on YouTube today. If you ever get some time and you just want to throw up, punch in spoiled kids on Christmas and watch the compilation videos that people have gathered. And you see tantrums going out from kids over what they didn't get under the tree. I mean, it's crazy. I was going to show a compilation, and I had it ready, and then I told Missy, I was like, I feel convicted. I feel like we're just exposing kids in a negative way here, and I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to laugh at it. But it was really saddening, because I punched it in getting ready to laugh, and I was like, man, this is sad. Got a purple pony instead, a purple plastic pony instead of a red one. Beaten, throwing ornaments against walls because they didn't get the red pony. And I'm just like, wow. I'd throw an ornament right at the face of that kid. Amen. I mean, I would. You know I would. I mean, I'd be sitting there like, really? Why don't you go stand up against that wall here for a second? Not just Nolan Ryan those ornaments at the kid. Where am I at? Amen. Oh yeah, gifts are just the sideshow. There we go. Amen. But I mean, just YouTube that, get ready to cringe. I mean, how many know when you see stuff like that, like that's what's wrong with America? Like, no, seriously. Like, that's what's wrong with the American home. Right there is when you see responses like that. When our worldview on success or blessing becomes materialistic instead of spiritual, we are headed down a very destructive path. Let me say that again. When our worldview of provision or success or blessing becomes materialistic instead of spiritual, we are headed down a very dangerous and destructive path. Christmas morning. Gifts are just the sideshow. Let me tell you what Christmas morning should be about. Number one, Christmas morning should be about eternity. Christmas morning should be about a Savior that came from heaven to give us heaven. Think about that just for a second. Where did He come from? And what did He come to give us? That's what it's about. He stepped out of heaven so that we could step in. And I'm not saying gifts are not part of the program here and that we shouldn't value the experience. I love the experience of Santa and everything growing up and leaving Santa his enchiladas and milk before he came and all that stuff. And you know, I've said this before, for those of you that are new, you all had a white Santa, I had a Mexican Santa, amen. And when I said, why aren't we leaving him cookies? He said, Santa's had enough cookies. He wants some enchiladas this time. Amen. And we did that. We left it for him every, did we not, Dina? Every Christmas Eve, he got enchiladas. And Tabasco sauce. He's like, where's the Tabasco sauce? Santa'll be ticked. I mean, I loved all that, and I did that with my kids, and we'll do it with Asia, but the focus of it all is found in the name that is found in the word Christmas, Christ. And He came from heaven to give us heaven. Do you know what heaven is like? Do you know? Do you know how Scripture describes heaven? Huh? John 14, verse 2, gives you just a little snippet. And on the app, if you follow along with us on the app, for Christmas morning, I left this for you, just as a gift. I left you, I think, 5 or 6 scriptures on heaven. On Christmas morning, just open it up. Because Christmas morning should be all about eternity. Say, hey, listen, this is why we have this day, so that we get stuff like this, and we get to go to heaven. Let me describe what heaven is. John 14, 2 says that in heaven there will be no tears of sadness. That it's a place where he will wipe every tear from the eye. And just sit there. I mean, how many know that's interesting just to think about? You get into the imagination of a child and start talking about that, right? Think about a place where nobody's ever sad. That's just one of them, right? Revelation 21, oh man, you just dig into Revelation 21. You got verse 4, man. It's insane stuff. Just start talking about heaven. Just read about heaven. John 14, 2 is about, Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many rooms. I love that one right there. There are many rooms. Woo! How many rooms? That Greek word for many, man. Woo-wee. How big is the house of God? Just start talking about that. Christmas morning should be about eternity. Number two, Christmas morning should be about family. Is that what I got? Yeah, Thanksgiving and family. Man. I feel for people that have lost loved ones around this time. And Christmas is a time where we need to be thankful for those we do have around our life. And know that. I mean, be thankful for who you get to spend the holidays with. Amen. A mom, a dad, a brother, sister, a cousin, aunt, an uncle, friend, or neighbor. Just be thankful for the community and the circle God has given you. And if you have lost someone, you may look at that green word there and say, how? But can I give you a key of what I have seen families do that have lost loved ones around this time of year? It should be about finding the strength in celebrating the great times and memories you had with that precious late loved one. Celebrating life. I've seen families that have lost love that have told me, man, we spent Christmas just talking about our favorite memory with, and it just turned into a laugh fest. It just turned into a joyful experience. They said we found ourselves in loss, celebrating life. Thanksgiving. Man. Christmas morning should be about faith. Thanking God for the faith that was given to me that has brought me through trial after trial after trial. Just take 10 seconds right now. Close your eyes and think about what God has brought you through. Just think about it. If it hadn't been for Jesus, I wouldn't have made it through this or that or that. Or he brought me through this time. Like Christmas morning should be about faith. The faith that was given to you, that God has used to bring you through all that you're thinking about right now. And lastly, number four, Christmas should be about not just what I receive, but what I give. How many know with that Christmas outreach opportunity, we get to do that? It's not we got to do that. We get to do that. We get to serve. We get to be a blessing to somebody else. Man, I love those shows. Kurt Warner used to host a show. It was like about a wish list or something like that. I wish they'd play it again, but it didn't make it that long. But, it's just like about reaching out to families in need, and then they would go and just go overabundant, like, and pour onto them, like, ridiculous Hollywood amount-sized provision, and they'd just be like, ah! And every time I'd see a family in need ministered to on that program, like, Missy and I are sitting there, and I'm just like, like, silent crying, you know, because I didn't want to be like, ah! But that's what I wanted to do. Just, like, this is amazing. Like, anytime you see somebody in need, like, seeing that need reached and met, it's powerful. I mean, we are at our best when we're serving. We're at our best when we are giving. And it would be fantastic to see, by the end of today, those stockings off of that tree where we just got bare, naked Christmas trees. We stripped all the stockings off of it, and we're going to go meet the needs of other kids. Let me tell you something. What God, I want to say it this way. What you help make happen for somebody in need, God will help make happen for you. help be a provision to somebody else. Sowing and reaping just doesn't apply in various areas of life. It applies financially in an incredible way. Christmas should be about giving.